Many greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off here in the United States, where action continues later Thursday evening at the Copa America Centenario football tournament. Joining us now with a preview of the action is VOA Sports reporter Ben Cento. Sporty greetings, Ben.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tonight's matches will be Uruguay versus Venezuela in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, followed by Mexico versus Jamaica at the Rose Bowl near Los Angeles, California. Uruguay will again be playing without world-class superstar Luis Suarez. The Uruguayan national team is even suggesting that the Barcelona star may miss the entire Copa America Centenario. Uruguay is coming off a 3-1 loss to Mexico, so tonight's game is a do-or-die situation. Venezuela, on the other hand, is coming off a 1-0 victory over Jamaica, and a victory tonight would clinch a spot for Venezuela in the next round. A similar situation comes in the following game between Mexico and Jamaica. Jamaica is looking at tonight's match as win or go home, while Mexico is looking for a win, which will launch them to the next round. Wednesday's two matches were made up of one extremely lopsided match and one draw. Brazil and Haiti kicked off the night with a 7-1 Brazil victory in Orlando, Florida. Let me give a sunny side of sports shout-out for the American referee Mark Geiger, who I talked with before the tournament. He officiated the Brazil-Haiti match. Brazil must feel good after that result after losing by the same score of 7-1 to Germany in the 2014 World Cup. Five-time World Cup champion Brazil is soccer elite, calling on players from all over Europe's top leagues, including Spain's La Liga, England's Premier League, Italy's Serie A, while Haiti is a football minnow. Haiti started a midfielder who plays in France's amateur fifth-tier league in its opening loss against Peru, but later replaced him due to an injury. After Brazil's domination last night, Haiti is eliminated from the Copa, and Brazil is 3 points closer to moving on. The match between Peru and Ecuador was played in Glendale, Arizona, and ended in a 2-2 draw. Peru's Christian Cueva struck first with an early goal assisted by Paulo Guerrero in the 5th minute. Just 8 minutes later, Peru's Edison Flores helped Guerrero get his second assist of the match, with another goal putting Peru up 2-0 in just 13 minutes. Ecuador took up a good part of the first half trying to rally back, scoring a late first-half goal to go into halftime 2-1. Ecuador must have gotten a great halftime pep talk from head coach Gustavo Quinteros, as they came out of halftime scoring just 3 minutes into the second half to tie it up at 2. This would end the scoring for the night and the result would be a tie. Peru had the chance to clinch a spot in the quarterfinals with a win, and it looked as if they were going to pull it off. However, with Ecuador's comeback, Peru's hopes of moving on are now in jeopardy. Peru plays Brazil in its final game needing a win, or an Ecuador loss to Haiti, a team that has not won yet and is already eliminated. Meanwhile, the 2016 European Football Championship kicks off Friday in Paris. France will host Romania in the opening match. With the recent threats in Paris, heightened security is expected throughout the city. These two American fans in the French capital say they're not worried about any security threats.
I feel safe here. I travel all the time. I'm not going to worry about fear. It's probably more dangerous to cross the streets than it is anything else. So, no, we feel great here, and it's a fun time. It's a great city.
Walking around, I felt pretty safe. I think it's a great city. It looks cool, way different than what I'm used to. And I haven't really felt scared at all or anything.
The French interior minister promises, quote, a very high security level at the Euro Championship. He wants sportsmanship, festivities, and security for teams and spectators. All are hoping and looking forward to a safe and fun month of football. I'm VOA's Ben Cento. Take it away, Sonny.
Thanks, Ben. This will be the first European Football Championship contested by 24 teams. One of those teams is Turkey, which is in Group D, along with Croatia, the Czech Republic, and three-time European champion Spain. In Turkey, another international football tournament is taking place this month. and it features mainly African migrants. Reporter Nura Tasson tells us more from Istanbul, Turkey.
Faces look up at the Mimar Sinan soccer stadium in Fatih, Istanbul. Thunder and dark clouds threaten to ruin today's match between Somalia and Ghana, but nobody loses hope. The players listen to music and some say water and simit, a traditional Turkish rounded bread covered with sesame. The fans start to fill the grandstand of the stadium. This is not one of the international championships that the biggest Turkish city holds during the year. This is the African Community Soccer Championship, and Somalia and last year's champion Ghana play quarterfinal matches today. Every year since 2004, this tournament takes place in the heart of Istanbul, thousands of miles from the homelands of the competition players and fans. Africans do not always feel welcome in Istanbul, but for a few afternoons, these games gives the city's African community a chance to feel at home, so nobody's afraid of a little rain. Joseph Ndong from Cameroon is one of the organizers. He says he hopes the competition will bring Africans together and politics will be left aside.
The first principle of this tournament is make friendship. We have to come together to know who is from Cameroon, who is from Nigeria, from all Africa. Out of friendship, our small brother, they are playing in this tournament. We make them promotion to try to have the teams after the tournament. Plenty managers, agents, scout, president of the teams, they come here, they watch the player, and then they pick them and they bring them in the team to make the trial. Some ones sign the contract. That is our bet now.
Organizers are trying to showcase African soccer talent through the tournament and give players a chance to join professional teams. Adnan from Somalia hopes he will be one of the lucky ones.
The organizers to get a bigger club, to get a good future for us, and we appreciate it. Two agents talked to me already. So let's see what happens in the final. When you are good, they tell you, okay, we can take you to social club in another country. They're here. That's why they organize the tournament. It's not just for playing sake. So you should expect more Cristiano Ronaldo here.
Turkey is a major gateway for migrants who struggle to illegally cross its western borders and reach Europe. There are no statistics for how many Africans presently live in Turkey, but some areas of Istanbul are especially popular with Africans these days. The largest groups are believed to be from Somalia and Nigeria. Many arrive in Turkey dreaming of joining a local soccer team, but many, like Adnan, are fooled upon arrival.
Manager took me from Africa down here that I'm coming to play a big club, then we go here, we are stranded here. The agents that took us from Africa is just lying. No contact with the clubs. It's just lying and collected our money, that's all. And we don't want to go back to Africa, you know. We just have to find a way, one way or the other, to make a living. That's why I'm still playing. I feel discouraged, but I feel down, but I just have to move on. When there's life, there's hope. And I still believe I can make it.
The final will be played June 18th, and everybody is spurred to win. But Somalia and the current champion Ghana will have to wait to know who will go to the semi-finals next Thursday. The heavy rain has forced the referees to cancel the match. Never mind, the players now have a few days more to dream of victory and new contracts. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Nure Tasson in Istanbul.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tributes continue to pour in for the late, great Muhammad Ali ahead of his memorial service on Friday in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville is also the location of the Muhammad Ali Center, where thousands of people have left flowers, cards, T-shirts, boxing gloves, and other items, all in remembrance of the three-time world heavyweight champion. The center was founded by Ali and his fourth wife, Lonnie, and it opened in 2005. VOA's Dimiyaki Mwakoyeleye asked the center's president and CEO, Donald Lasserre, about the purpose of the facility.
Muhammad and Lonnie wanted the center to inspire people. And Muhammad lived by a set of principles that made him who he was. And so the center is based, for the most part, on Muhammad's six core principles: dedication, confidence, conviction, spirituality, respect, and giving.
Did he come there a lot?
He came to the center on many, many occasions. One of his favorite things to do would be to sit on our fourth floor where we have TV screens that show his old fights. Mm-hmm. He would come and watch his old fights.
Really?
Yes. That was one of his favorite things to do.
So what kind of a person was he? Of course, for those of us who only have seen him on TV, many said he was larger than life.
Absolutely. Muhammad was always a welcoming person to anyone who wanted to be with him. I can tell you a story. There was a young man who was battling leukemia, and Muhammad asked that the young man visit with him. And at the end of that visit, this young man said to Muhammad, I am going to continue to fight this disease, and I am going to win for you, champs. And to your earlier question, when you were in the presence of Muhammad, you were in the presence of true greatness.
The fact that he had Parkinson's, many would think that Parkinson's really silenced him, at least verbally. So how did he communicate?
Muhammad could say more with his eyes than I could say with 1,000 words, quite frankly, and with his facial expressions and with his body language. So while he wasn't speaking as much, he still was able to communicate.
The earlier images had this really tough talking, you know, some people would call very arrogant boxer. Was that all a persona, or was part of that real? And did it put off some people?
Well, I wouldn't say arrogant. I would say confidence, which is one of his principles. And yes, of course, I'm sure it was off-putting to his opponents. Many of them said so.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk to any boxer, they will not go in the ring thinking that they're going to lose. And Muhammad always went in, and he knew he was going to win.
That's Donald Lasserre, the president and CEO of the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville, Kentucky. And he was talking with VOA reporter Dimiyaki Mwakoyeleye from Louisville, Kentucky. Joining us now with more on Friday's memorial service in Louisville is VOA sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Throughout his career, Muhammad Ali drew massive crowds to his events, and on Friday he will do it one last time. Ali died at the age of 74 from septic shock late last Friday night, and a public memorial service for the boxing legend will be held this Friday. The service will take place in the 22,000-seat KFC Yum Center in Ali's hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, with 15,000 tickets being given out to the public free by Ali's request. All of those tickets sold out in just over an hour on Wednesday morning as thousands lined up outside the arena, some as early as 6 a.m. local time. But don't worry, if you were unable to get a ticket, ESPN bumped the broadcast of the opening game of Euro 2016 and will be providing full coverage of the service starting at 1800 GMT and UCT. There are also other events taking place in Ali's honor on Friday, including a funeral procession through the town that will pass by Ali's boyhood home and a private funeral.
The pallbearers will be Will Smith, the actor who portrayed Ali in the movie Ali and a close family friend, John Grady, Muhammad Ali's cousin, Ibn Ali, Muhammad Ali's nephew, Kawani Ali, Muhammad's former brother-in-law, Jerry Ellis, brother of Jimmy Ellis. Jimmy was Muhammad's former sparring partner and former heavyweight champion of the world. Lennox Lewis, former heavyweight champion of the world, Jan Waddell, Muhammad Ali's first cousin, and John Ramsey, Muhammad Ali's family friend.
That's Bob Gunnell, the Ali family spokesman, speaking at the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville. As for the actual memorial service, it will feature eulogies from former U.S. President Bill Clinton, comedian Billy Crystal, and sportscaster Brian Gumbel, as well as others giving tributes and celebrating Ali's life. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thank you, Jonah. The National Basketball Association finals resume Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Game 4 of the Best of 7 championship series. The Cavs crushed the Warriors in Game 3 Wednesday night in Cleveland, 120-90, and now trail the Warriors 2-1. Joining us now with his basketball insights is VOA Sports reporter Toddy Abeje. Sporty greetings, Toddy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Toddy, another great all-around performance by Cleveland superstar LeBron James. What did you think of LeBron's performance?
It was exceptional. He set the tone early and often for the team, and they needed him to perform well in order to win the game. He scored 32 points, grabbed 11 rebounds, and dished out 6 assists. So his performance was phenomenal, and he needs to repeat that type of performance if they want to even the series up in Game 4.
Toddy, who were some of the other key players for the Cavs?
Well, the other key players was Kyrie Irving. He also stepped up huge. He scored 30 points and dished out 8 assists, and he was boogieing all over the Warriors, especially on Stephen Curry. He outplayed Steph, no question about it. And then J.R. Smith scored 20 points. He finally showed up, and he made 5 three-point shots. Tristan Thompson did the dirty work by grabbing 13 rebounds and scored 14 points. And Richard Jefferson, who started in place of Kevin Love because of a concussion, scored 9 points and grabbed 8 rebounds.
Toddy, I remember in your preview of Game 3, you told our Voice of America listeners how the Cavs lost the opening 2 games by an NBA Finals record 48 points. What adjustments did they make to get back in this series?
Well, they locked in defensively, and they made their shots, and they played with effort for the first time in the series. They finally tried. It's a miracle. They tried. They played with more effort. They continue this effort if they want to win Game 4 and even the series up 2-2.
Now, Golden State's 2-time league most valuable player, Stephen Curry, not one of his better games, Game 3. Do you think he'll play better Friday night?
He has to. If his team wants to go up 3-1 to have a chance to win a championship, he has to play better. That's just as simple as that. His performance has not been great. You know, he's a 2-time MVP. He has to play better. Only scoring 19 points. It seems like he was lost, and he was not hitting his shots. So he has to step up. And also Klay Thompson and Draymond Green have to step up as well.
Toddy, I remember you were mentioning brooms and a possible sweep by Golden State. What about now? Six, 7 games maybe for this series?
Could be 6, could be 5. I just think that the Game 4 will be much more competitive than the first 3 games.
Toddy Abeje, Voice of America sports reporter. Thank you, Toddy.
Thank you, Sonny.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, you used the word crushed, and that's one of many similar words that people are using on social media to describe this game. Stunning, walloped, the Cavs dominated. You're seeing a lot of strong language in social media over this victory. And a lot of people pointing out the Cavs, you know, 5-4 on the road in the playoffs, 8-0 at home. So it's not so much of a surprise for some people, some of the statisticians saying, well, we expected them to do well at home, maybe not expecting them to do this well. But as we talked about in the Eastern Conference Finals, this was the case where it was back and forth, where you saw in the different home courts, they would work up these huge leads, whatever the home team was. So that might be the case here. So it may go out to 6 or 7 games and may go the full length of the series if they keep this up. But a lot of fans on social media hoping for a more competitive game because they're saying it's not as fun to watch a blowout. I mean, LeBron doing this amazing alley-oop dunk, it was awesome to watch that, but it's also awesome to watch a close game.
I agree. I think fans do want a competitive close series between the Cavs and the Warriors. LeBron really stepped up in Game 3, Andrew. I guess he's trending right now.
Oh, absolutely. He's trending, and the team is trending. There's a lot of chatter about them. Actually, there's a lot of talk, too, on social media. Lil Wayne dropped a song called Off, Off, Off. That is the Cavaliers anthem that they've adopted. So after Game 3, he dropped this, and everyone said, well, because they won by 30 points. That's why he said, I'm going with the Cavs. I'm going to write this song, and I'm going to put this out. So a lot of people chatting about that on social media, that they've got that anthem. The Cavs have been doing a lot of the social media kind of promotion. We've talked about some of the slogans that they've used, the hashtags they've created for this series. So they've been doing a lot to try to push this out and motivate their fans, especially facing this really great Golden State team, to try to motivate them. And certainly the win last night did.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. On the Facebook front, I did my first Facebook Live chat on Wednesday with VOA's Vincent McCourry, the host of our Africa 54 television show. So if you get a chance, check it out. A Facebook Live chat between me and Vincent. We talked about Muhammad Ali, the late great world heavyweight champion fighter. As Jonah mentioned, his memorial service will be on Friday in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. Muhammad Ali, Andrew, I guess he might be trending right now?
Absolutely. They're doing a funeral service today, which is a smaller service for Muhammad Ali. And then they're going to do that big memorial service tomorrow that's going to be more open in the Yum Center. So it's going to, I think, 14,000 seats in that arena that people will be able to see that. But with the funeral today, we are seeing some images coming out of his casket being walked into the service. And we're seeing just nice, touching moments. I mean, the boxing gloves that people are leaving in various places at his childhood home, for instance, we're seeing lots of flowers and tributes there. So it's, you know, ever since the news broke this past week, he's been a topic of social media conversation throughout the whole week. And a lot of it has been memories, you know, strong memories, saying, I remember when I watched him in this fight, or I remember when he came to my school. A lot of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area where he lived and grew up, a lot of people talking about how they've maybe met him. And there was one gentleman even whose name was Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali the boxer came to Muhammad Ali, the citizen's house. Okay. I think it was in Bangladesh, and he actually flew all the way from Bangladesh to go to the funeral, the memorial service. He said, I have to go for my namesake. So a lot of really just touching moments that we're seeing on social media.
Andrew, what other sports topics are trending right now?
Well, I mentioned a little bit ago Lil Wayne dropping this song for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's not the only hip-hop and rap artist who is in the sports news. Snoop Dogg, of course, a famous rapper, was asked to throw out the first pitch at the San Diego Padres baseball game. Of course, this is kind of a tradition with baseballs that they get somebody, you know, a celebrity or notable person to throw out the first pitch in the game. And he nearly took out a cameraman who was standing behind home plate with this ball. He way overshot the catcher and nearly hit this poor cameraman in the face. So there's a lot of comparisons on social media. People looking back 2 years ago, 50 Cent, the rapper, was at a New York Mets game, and he threw the ball, and it went, you know, supposed to go from the pitcher's mound across the plate. It went from the pitcher's mound and like a 90-degree angle and, you know, to the left. So there was a lot of comparison saying these two artists who are so talented, talented musicians, but they are not the best maybe at throwing the baseball. So there was a lot of comparisons between them. So they were in the news maybe for not the greatest of reasons, but they both of them, to their credit, 50 Cent 2 years ago and Snoop Dogg this past week, both kind of laughed it off and said it was all in good fun. They said maybe we'll stick to our day jobs and stick to making music instead of being out on the baseball field.
Maybe you could say Snoop Dogg deserves to be in the doghouse for that throw?
I think so, yeah. There were more than a few kind of puns and jokes being made on social media for sure about that. But like I said, they kind of laughed it off, and that was nice to see that they said, hey, we're not athletes. This is tough stuff. We're going to stick to music.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And we look forward to hearing from you again on Friday. And that wraps up the June 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past few years, an increasing number of countries have passed laws penalizing blasphemy. That could be any speech or activity which may be perceived to be insulting to or even just lacking sufficient reverence for another's religion or God or religious officials or artifacts. On the face of it, this may not sound like a bad idea. However, enforcement of blasphemy laws in various parts of the world violates the fundamental freedoms of expression and religion or belief, weaken broader protections for human rights, and undermine social stability. Blasphemy laws empower the state to be the arbiter of religious truth or orthodoxy, which almost always reflects the views of the majority, said acting special envoy to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Arsalan Suleiman. When enforced, the end result is that individuals with different beliefs are prevented from fully expressing or carrying out their peaceful religious practice. A country's laws and their enforcement shape societal norms and expectations. So, when a government passes and enforces blasphemy laws, it may exacerbate divisions within society, thus undermining social stability. It is therefore no surprise that research has shown that countries with the most restrictions on the exercise of religious freedom, including blasphemy laws, also have the highest level of religious hostilities. Indeed, a number of studies have shown a correlation between blasphemy laws and higher rates of violent extremism within societies. In some instances, even the barest accusation of blasphemy has resulted in mob violence and killings. The United States is absolutely clear in its opposition to blasphemy laws globally, and we convey that view through various channels of engagement, said Special Envoy Suleiman. The United States advises on the negative effects of such laws and encourages countries that have them to repeal them. We urge governments to hold accountable those who commit violence motivated by accusations of blasphemy. We work with civil society to improve the religious freedom environment and encourage other countries to do the same. And we helped craft UN Resolution 1618, which calls on all member states to foster religious freedom and pluralism. Blasphemy laws are a global concern. We call on the international community to reject blasphemy laws and continue to uphold the human rights and fundamental freedoms enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests that share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.